repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, mm-hmm. and areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics. Tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky. Wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, you know, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement. Yes, sir. Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church, second family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in just a moment is John Ramos. It is such an urgent time for us to begin to pray. And I just want to encourage you, the National Day of Prayer is coming up May the 7th. And here right now is something about, I want you to take a look at this because we need to begin to think. All these things are taking place in America, the rise of radical Islam, ISIS attacks in America, riots in Baltimore and other places in the country. And it's like, what's going on? We need to pray. Take a look at this.
Hello, I'm Jack Graham, pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church and teacher for PowerPoint Ministries. I'm so very grateful and humbled to serve as the honorary chairman for this year's National Day of Prayer Task Force. Kingdoms and nations throughout all history have risen and fallen on prayer. The reason is seen in Psalm 103, verse 19, which proclaims God's kingdom is the one kingdom, the one and only kingdom that rules over all others. And amazingly, prayer connects us, gives us a welcome audience with Almighty God, the one true God who reigns over every ruler, authority, and nation. Our theme for the 2015 National Day of Prayer is, Lord, hear our cry. It stresses the desperate need we have to individually and together place our faith in God's unfailing love and grace. We're basing this theme from 1 Kings 8:28, which says, "Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day." Isn't that incredible? Prayer enables us to actually connect with God and takes us into the very presence of Jesus our Lord. If you want to host, attend, or learn more about the National Day of Prayer, visit dayofprayer.org, National Day of Prayer. org. That's nationaldayofprayer.org. And may God bless you and our nation as we seek Him together on May the 7th.
It is so important. This is not like any other time. It is time to pray. Pray in your city, pray in your state, pray in your home. It's time to begin to abide with God. Like never before, we got to begin to hear what He's saying. You know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that's an offer to us to be able to turn back to Him. Make sure that you're a part of that. You know, here we are, you know, we're needing to make progress in America. The church is needing, the kingdom of God is needing progress. We're needing to be shaken to the core where we begin to step up and begin to follow the Lord like never before. The difficult thing to understand is that when progress begins, controversy happens, and you cannot avoid controversy and have progress. They come together. I mean, think about Nehemiah. Nehemiah began to rebuild the walls that were tattered and torn, but guess what? Controversy came in. Everything came in to be able to stop him from building those walls. There's not going to be any progression in America in the church unless we wake up, not do a church thing, not do a religious thing, not build another building, but to make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life and begin to follow Him as a disciple. We got to rise up and be the light of the world. And you think about this. Think about the powerful movement, you know, of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And you look back at a distance and you study from a distance and you read history from a distance and you think everything was just like clockwork. Everything was happening. He was doing this leadership, you know, and everybody was following the leadership, and there's the 10 commitments that we talk about that he had everybody sign to be able to be a part of the movement, to be able to walk with him. But listen, it's not a still shot. It's not like you think. They made movement and progress, but controversy was happening at the same time. As a matter of fact, this is T.D. Jakes of the Potter House talking to former Mayor Andrew Young, who walked with Dr. King, and what he said specifically about a movement, about progress, and what it was really like walking with Dr. King. Watch this.
I was talking to Andy Young, and you know who he is and what a trailblazer he's been in this nation, not only working in our government, working in the civil rights movement, and just seeing so many things happen. And we were having a conversation. and I was talking about the complexities of the time that we're in right now, the controversy that goes along with it, and the criticisms that you have to deal with, and all of that. And I said, you know, it's just terribly perplexing times now to be a leader and to be out front. He said, that's not anything new. I was looking for a little sympathy hookup, you know. He said, I was with Dr. King. He said, they were fighting him on every side. He was put out of his denomination. I'm not talking about, you hear about the FBI side and all of that, but you don't hear, because those who are preaching and saying they are the next Dr. Kings were the very ones who put him out. He said they were fighting him internally. They were fighting him externally. They were bugging his house. They were fighting him on every side, not to mention your own personal problems. And he said, yeah, some kind of way, Bishop. He said, we managed to make progress. He said, I don't know how we did it. He said, there was always murmuring and complaining and bickering, and we didn't know from day to day what was going to happen. We didn't agree amongst ourselves while we were marching. Sometimes we were debating issues, but some kind of way, we made progress until eventually we began to understand that we could not wait for the controversy to stop for the movement to go forward.
This is so important, because when you look at things from a distance, we don't realize all the order and all the structure and everything that has to take place to be able to bring something to pass. That's the reality. I mean, look at Israel. When Israel is walking out of captivity, it was chaos. It was a mess. Moses was constantly having to correct everybody and change everybody. You had Korah's rebellion. You had people that were complaining, people that thought the food wasn't good enough. People thought there wasn't enough water. People rethought, you know, the plan, thinking it was Moses' plan, but it was actually God's plan. But it's always been that way. Look at the disciples. They were arguing over who's going to sit beside Jesus. And, you know, Peter was rebuking Jesus and saying, you know, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem, you know, and Jesus is going, get behind me, Satan. When we're dealing with human beings who God loves, I mean, we're going to have our rough places and we're going to have our difficulties and things are going to happen. But understand this, that's who God works with. He works with people just like you and just like me. And we have to stand up. This is our day. That was Dr. King's day. And those that, you know, former Mayor Andrew Young walking with him and all the others that walked with him and did a powerful thing in this country, bringing us to a moral place, at least beginning a moral place in regards to how we're supposed to treat each other in this country. And we still are on a journey there. But understand this, today we're going to have to rise up. But when we rise up, we're going to have to move and say, you know what, it's all not going to be perfect. Everything's not going to be as smooth as can be. But we have to know, you know, people were taking credit, as he was talking about, that saying, you know, they're the ones that were, you know, leading or whatever. And he says, those are the very ones that were trying to throw Dr. King out of their denomination and those type of things. And I was like, this is the key, based on my understanding. It's for an audience of one. You got to begin to live your life for an audience of one. Not even members those that said that they'll be with you through thick and thin. That's what they told Jesus before he went to the cross. We'll never leave you, Peter said. Not for the pleasure of men's eyes and what they think about you. You're going to stand alone before the throne room of God. This is your season. This is your time. What are you going to do with this moment? Are you going to be a Dr. Martin Luther King? Are you going to stand up and begin to stand up in a civil way, in a civil land, being up under God's law and up under the Constitution, and begin to stand up? Or are you going to sit silently by and end up in the footsteps of those who actually carve the way, or will a way even be carved? Difficult times are happening, but all you have to do as a church, we just have to rise. We're going to talk more about this when we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you've ever felt there's more month than money and that your paycheck just doesn't cover the bills, it may be time to make a budget. This is John Fuller, and financial expert Dave Ramsey shares some practical ways you can do that on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Every dollar has a mission. Every month, before the month begins, on paper, on purpose, and you agree on it with your spouse. But zero-based means your income is at the top, minus all of these missions, assignments for every dollar. Every dollar has a name, until you get to the bottom and it's exactly zero, which means you have to kind of work on it a little bit to get it to zero out. But you can't have any money that's just kind of laying there, because that money will disappear. You have to tell every dollar what to do or you will wonder where it went.
Well, making a budget requires some effort, and staying on budget can be hard, but do it today. You can find out how at focusonthefamily.com/finances.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
In this life, you're going to have trouble. Mm. I mean, that's kind of a hint, isn't it?
That's what Jesus told us.
I mean, how many people today, I mean, they really, you know, if the boat is rocking, that ain't God.
Something has to be wrong.
You know what I'm saying? If the tectonic plate under your nation is rocking, that ain't God.
Right.
If the wind is blowing, that ain't God. If the economy's falling, that ain't God. If there's anything like my paycheck being messed up, that ain't God.
That ain't God.
You think it was like, where does God fit? Like, is he just some figure? You know, isn't he omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing? He's in control of everything. He's in the center of everything. He's right beside you waiting for you to reach out to him. Yes. And so there has been a mindset promulgated that says if trouble happens, if when you stand up and begin to serve God and do what God says, and trouble happens, then you miss God. That was not God.
But Jesus said that there'll be enemies of your own household.
Yeah, right.
You'll have enemies in your own household. Mother,
so many people, John.
Fathers.
So many people never
children.
Made it out the front door, right? I mentioned at the breakfast table that I was going to serve God today, and before they made it out the door, spiritually decapitated, emasculated, all outright attack. And it's like, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't suppose I came to bring peace but a sword. Now, you have people that are agitators, and they're people that are causing strife and division.
Provokers.
Yeah, and those folks, their motives are not the same. And that's for God to be able to root that out. I mean, we're not the motive checkers. Mm-hmm. We just got to do what was right before God ourselves. But if you believe that when you go do what God wants you to do, that the enemy's going to go, oh, my goodness, there's a Christian. Give up the territory. Give up the soul. Give up the land. Give up the finances. Or is it like this? That you're going to have to dispossess the inhabitants of the land.
Yeah.
That he said, you know, when you go forth, he says, the kingdom of God has been advancing from the time of John the Baptist till now, forcefully advancing. And it's forceful men that lay hold of it. Who is this man that speaks with such authority? Have you come here before your time? I mean, this is demonic encounters with
people that love either to live in a lie or to ignore the lie, don't like when the truth comes around. And the truth of the matter is that the truth offends and it will ruffle a lot of people's feathers. And a lot of people oftentimes will fall back and avoid controversy or avoid, you know, any kind of uprising because they don't want to feel personally attacked. But the truth is truth.
Uprising. So
think about it.
Well, you think about this. You know, my feathers get ruffled, you know, sometimes, but it's called the Holy Spirit's checking you, you know, and you just go, you know, I want to make that right. And it's just a kind of a way of walking with the Lord, but understand this, but it's been taught so long now that, you know, everything's going to work out good. Just, you know, just get your 401k and get your little retirement plan, get your little insurance going on, you know, get your house paid down, get ready right here. You know, it's like almost like getting old is an accomplishment. I mean, think about it. It's like, yeah, I made it to 85. And it's like, you know, praise God you made it to 85. But what did you do for 85 years?
That's right.
I mean, if getting old is success, then Jesus wasn't successful.
Mm-mm.
He died at 33 years old. He was crucified at 33. I mean, how much more would that add into that narrative? Going like, oh, he didn't make it to 90. He didn't make it to 90. And the fact too, it was a real tragic thing. I mean, he got crucified, so obviously it was a failure. Right. Jesus said, "It is finished." Our goal should not be to make it 10 more years. Our goal should be able to finish as quickly as we can. But what God has called us to do, so we can actually leave this earth by saying we have finished the work that he's called us to do. Paul said, I've been poured out like a drink offering. I got nothing left.
Yeah. The longer you live, the more you're actually going to be accountable for the time that you were here. So
yes,
if we're praying for long life, the question is, what are we doing with the life that we presently have? And are we going to have something to give the King when we see him?
Yeah, and this is your own personal, you know, worship of God. I mean, this is it. This is the moment that you have to be able to do that. And I know that pretty much, you know, some things that we're seeing take place is, you know, partnering with government instead of submitting to God. You know, hirelings, you know, kind of bringing people in and hire them to do your job, our job. I mean, the Bible's written to you. The Bible's written to me. It's not written to you, old pastor. It's not written to your apostle. It's not written to that evangelist. It's written to all of us.
Right.
Those are just gifts that are given amongst the body. When you think about a hireling as somebody, I mean, you know, think about this. You know, we have a pulpit committee. We're going to be we're going to have a hireling committee. We're going to look for somebody to hireling that's going to hireling do exactly what we want them to do, because we want them to do what God has called us to do. And you think about that, well, that couldn't be. Well, Jesus said it very specifically. I mean, you can see it right here on your screen, 5:43. You know, he said in John 10:12-13, he says, a hireling. I mean, talk specifically about that. This is 5:43. He says, a hireling, he is not the shepherd. In other words, he's not the leader of your country. He's not the leader of your state. He's not the leader of your county. He's not the leader of your department. He is not the leader. You think about it, that he's Jesus, the Son of God. He said he did nothing and said nothing unless he heard the Father say it or do it. So God is telling us through his Son, this is how things work. You have hirelings who don't belong there, and then you have people who belong there. The difference between a hireling and somebody that belongs there is you can't tell the person who belongs there what to do, because they're actually a leader. They're going to lead. And but he says right here in John 10, you can see it, 10:12-13, he says, a hireling, he is not a shepherd. He's not the person that's the shepherd or the leader. One who does not own the sheep. See the wolf, he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep, and he flees, he runs. I mean, think about that. He leaves the sheep, and he runs. But right now, there's a lot of hirelings. You have to understand, they're not going to be there. They're there for the paycheck. They're there for the retirement plan. They're committed as long as you pay them. They're committed as long as everything is good. But hard times are coming, and it's time to rise up and understand that you can't just hire somebody to do what you're called to do.
That's right.
You know? And he goes on, it says right here, he says, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. How many people are saying, you know, my political leaders that we voted in office, they don't even care about me? That's a hireling. You can't make a hireling care. You hired them to do your job. You know, in America with a republic, we have to participate in government for it to be work. They're supposed to represent you, but not supposed to do what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
In the church, understand that God called all of us to do exactly what everything says in the Word of God. And so the fivefold ministry, you know, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, they're there to help us do the work. But they're not supposed to do our work. You know, they're supposed to train God's people up for works of service. So we have to begin to say, you know what? Are we going to partner with government? Which is basically saying, you know, I'm going to hire people out to run this country. I'm going to hire people out to run this ministry, to run our church. Or are we going to, the option though, listen to the option, partner with government instead of submitting to God. I mean, that's the alternative, isn't it? I mean, if somebody doesn't show up on your pulpit hireling committee, then you're going to have to pastor. You're going to have to stand up and get in the Word of God. You're going to have to read the Scriptures and study and cry out to God the way he or she would and say,
stay low,
I got to hear from God. Yeah, keep your head low, Lord high. And he can do it, by the way. You know, and the thing about if you partner with government, which in other words, you know, men's form of government, instead of submitting to God, you know, why do people do that? Because you can manipulate government. Politicians can be bought out and bribed. People say that's not true. Well, look, they're called earmarks. They're called stimulus packages.
That's right.
That's called bribes, by the way. In other words, if people vote immoral laws in because you offer them a bridge to nowhere, that bridge to nowhere is called a bribe. That's what that's called. And people say, I know, but we'll just get government because I can actually manipulate government. You know, politicians can be threatened. There's people that actually threaten the political leaders that they put in. It's crazy. Employees can be, you know, manipulated. You can hire things out. You can have a hireling come in and say, you know, we finally found us the right pastor. Instead of saying, you want a man of God who hears from God.
Yeah.
You want somebody who cries out to God that you're going to submit to that leadership. And the reason why I say that, and you think about this, in Luke 4, 5 through 6, this is what was happening to Jesus. He was in the wilderness. He was going through a time of fasting and seeking the Father. And it says, Satan led Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, I will give you all their dominion and its glory, for it's been handed over to me, and I can give it to whoever I wish. But think about that. Jesus didn't say, this is not true, Satan. This is not yours. Because Jesus knows about the fall of man in the garden. When they fell, when Adam fell, the authority was given over to Lucifer down here in this area. And we take it back through Jesus Christ, bit by bit, piece by piece, soul by soul. And so people who partner with government instead of submitting to God, it's all not going to end well. Evil's not going to go away. Darkness is not going to go away. I mean, if it would, you think about Israel, and God would have, you know, Israel could have partnered with Pharaoh and they would have been able to move out of slavery at that particular point. But it wasn't until God directed Pharaoh's heart like a water course and determined what he was going to do when he heard the cries of God's people. You're not going to win righteousness with men's government. Righteousness comes from God through his Son. It's for us to turn to God and God to direct the leader's heart like a water course. We're supposed to pray for those in authority over us. You can't hireling your way out of this thing. Hmm. The only hope is to be able to repent. I think about SOS, you know, which is available for all of our partners out there, just so you know that.
Any amount.
Yeah, any amount whatsoever. You go to VFNTV.com and just partner with us, and we got these teachings, prophetic teachings. One's called SOS, like that sending out that signal, and it stands for Saul or Samuel. We got to choose which government that we are going to operate in. If we choose, you know, Saul's form of government, remember Israel said that we want a king like everyone else. We want a king like everyone else. They already had Saul, God's form of government. Not one word of Saul that was speaking was falling to the ground. God was fully operational in his people's lives, but they looked over and they said, I want something like that. And you think about it, that's what's happening today. How many people are turning to government saying, this is what we need. We need socialism. We need a government that does this. We need to take that. We need to be politically correct. We need to pull the Bible out of schools. We need to pull the Ten Commandments off the walls. We got to pull In God We Trust off of everything. And it's like, what are you doing? You're trying to figure out how to bring a country, a nation, by men's government instead of God. America's here because God allowed it to be here. Mm. The founding fathers weren't some brilliant geniuses. They were somebody who benefited off people who cried out for a place to come find a land that they could worship God freely, called the Pilgrims. And a byproduct of that over time is they begin to experience you can be a person who loves God and be under God without a king ruling continually over you. And every time the king comes over here with his people, it's tyranny. And they begin to have the American Revolution. You begin to see these things unfold over time because we found out that we could be a people under God. What I'm really trying to say is, you know, and of course I did say, I was talking about Samuel, who actually, when he prophesied, not one word fell to the ground, not Saul, actually. A lot of things fell to the ground with Saul, including Saul. But this tendency that we have to think that we need to put somebody in a place that we can control versus realizing God's in control and we need to turn to God. And we've got to make a choice, you know, Samuel or Saul. And this is the difficulty, because it's either partner with government in our form of hirelings, or and submit to God. That's only the choice. And when you see right here in James chapter 4, verse 7, he says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. What that means is, and we'll talk more about this after the break, it's like, this stuff ain't going to go away. It's not going to go away with an election. It's not going to go away with a new job. It's not going to go away with a new marriage. It's not going to go away with a new family, new house. You move somewhere, you change your country, get rid of your visa, get rid of your passport. It's only going to change when we understand who's God. Government's not God. God's not going to allow us to manipulate him. And we'll talk more about that at the break. But he's a good God. He's got good plans in store for us. He's the one that's holding all this thing together. There is hope. We'll talk about that after the break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you,
mm-hmm.
because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that. We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although, you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can while it's actually the light of the gospel, because, you know, he tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing, you know, a network now that's reaching around the world,
mm-hmm.
Television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the land. It's obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices that just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. Seconds. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it.
Seconds.
We all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it. You can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We just had a great victory here in the studio.
Yes, we have. Hallelujah. About
that. Yeah, and you think about this, and so this is important because so many things have been taught that are inappropriate, they're not biblical, that it just seems good to a man, but it's not the reality. Maybe that's why you're frustrated, because you're trying all those things, but you're still having, you know, those dark attacks and these difficult things coming against you. And the reason why is you can't partner with government to find righteousness. There's no such thing as righteous government because men are in it. You know, the only righteous government is God's government, which Jesus is the king over. And Ephesians chapter 6 lets us know why it's a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, you know, for you don't struggle against governments. You don't struggle against political parties. You don't struggle against evil men. You don't struggle against physical human beings. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, governments of men, but against the rulers, against authorities, against spiritual powers and darkness in this dark world, and against spiritual forces. It's a spirit. It's a spiritual battle. That's how one moment you could be talking to someone and they seem like your best friend, you know, and they're so susceptible to things, and all of a sudden, the next moment, they're being used by the enemy for something to go down, because that was a spirit that came upon them. Something began to influence their thought life. The enemy lied to them. This fiery dart just shot into their mind, and it said, accusation, you know, or something. And all of a sudden, they begin to believe the lie. Then they begin to physically respond to that lie, you know, versus saying, you know what, that's what we wrestled against. Mm-hmm. And so I got to make up my mind. Do I want to have hirelings around me? Do I want to have a hireling? And this, sometimes coming, I think about the hurricane, plural really, but Katrina that came to New Orleans, and the church was scattered all over the.
Yes, they
that
were.
That was a warning shot. I mean, Katrina means purity, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a warning shot, you know, fired across cleansing, across, you know, the bow of America, five hurricanes. And just seeing how susceptible we are and how fragile we are. And that, you know, it's the mercies of God saying, you know what, we can repent. I mean, that major storms was such a small amount of life loss, was just a miracle. And it could have been the other way around. But the churches were going, we don't know where our people are. Mm. We don't know who they are.
That's right.
Some were in Houston, some were in Baton Rouge, and they've never come back together again. And Jesus said, if you put a hireling over you, that when the enemy comes in, they're going to flee because they don't care about you, and the sheep are going to scatter. What happened in New Orleans?
They scattered. I was there.
Yeah, they scattered. And they've never come back together again the way that they were prior to that. And so it's important to understand you can't hire righteousness. You can't find you some politician that's going to just not be a human being and not be a man. And he or she, they're going to need God as much as you're going to need God. Mm. They're there to represent you. But the answer is actually choosing God over government. God's government over men's government. I mean, you think about this. That if it were against government, men's governments, Pharaoh, God could have totally, men could have, we'll just go talk to Pharaoh. We just need to have a chat with him. And Moses did 10 times. And God showed himself mighty 10 times. And God was in control and orchestrating every bit of that. So it wasn't something that Pharaoh was doing. It wasn't something Moses was doing. God was showing himself mighty by using the leadership to be able to show himself mighty to God's people. And so if we start thinking we need to partner with Pharaoh, and speaking of partner with Pharaoh, the Kentucky Derby, all of the horses to win, it was called Pharaoh.
And I believe American Pharaoh.
The American Pharaoh was the horse that won. And I believe it's even Egyptian owned, which lines totally up with the Jehoiakim prophetic word that we gave. Listen, God has set things in place. He's wanting us to repent. I want us to repent. And if we do, then he'll stop this thing that's intended for us. Mm. He'll stop it. But it is building momentum. And after Jehoiakim, which is God's set man, comes Zedekiah, which is Josiah's first was his son. The second one was his uncle, I believe, that got in. But his name was Zedekiah. Both of them were appointed by Egypt. And Zedekiah means God is just. God is so merciful. He's so kind that he'll come down to a prideful man's sleep who was arrogant and cocky and saying, Tomorrow I'm going to crucify Jesus. And he'll torment Pilate's wife in a dream by telling her the reality of what they're doing. So she'll go to him and say, don't do this evil thing against this man. Mm. Job 33 talks about it. This is how good God is. I mean, he will even come to us because we wouldn't listen when we were awake. He'll come to us and tell us in our sleep, listen, this is not good. You need to turn around. And that's where Rick Joyner was talking about in the earlier program we had this week. You got to go back and see that program. But the answer is not men's form of government. If Herod, King Herod, think about it. I mean, he wanted to kill Jesus. I mean, partnering with the government at that time was not the key strategy. The key is being God's form of government, loving God, loving man, leading others to the same. And in that, when we stand up for God's laws, his kingdom laws, not men's laws, then everything shifts in a nation. Everything shifts in men's hearts. And over and over again, you think about Judas. He partnered with the government of the day for he got like a stimulus package of 30 pieces of silver.
30 pieces.
And it didn't matter what he did. He was partnering against God. Mm. We got to find out, who is God? Who are the ones that are in charge? The problem, John, when you submit to God instead of partnering with government and bringing hirelings, and that's what we're really talking about, just trying to find somebody that fits my job description for what I want to do, which is really my job. I'm the one supposed to submit to God. I'm supposed to, read the word. I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to have a relationship with God. I'm supposed to repent. I'm supposed to cry out to God every day to hear the word, not just for this band that we hired, supposed to cry at least once a week,
right,
twice a week if we're serious, to cry out to the Lord. He says, my sheep know my voice. And by the way, and this is probably a good way to tell if there's a hireling or not, if they're not telling you this. I mean, they shouldn't be. There's no secret. The secret is God wants to reveal his secrets to you when you seek him and call after him, when you seek him with all of your heart. God loves you individually, and he wants to speak to you individually. And I think about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, actually, we call him Bonhoeffer, but I mean, the profound thing that he was bringing to the church in Germany was that God's word is living, it's active, that it can speak to you. You can just meditate on a verse and God will begin to change your life through that verse, and that he's in authority and God will direct your life. This was a shocker to the church the church, supposedly, that was partnering with Hitler that day.
Surprise!
And he was the one responsible for the Reformation. But it was against government because Hitler was over the government. It didn't matter. Even if Hitler was over the government, when the people began to repent, who said they were in the church, began to get in the church, began to follow God, not a building. I'm not talking about a building. They began to follow the Lord, you know, and all of a sudden, no matter what happened, they got free. And the church, the reformation of the entire church of Germany began to happen because one man understood, you know, what I'm telling you. But they had to be convinced. The people of that day had to be convinced. That means everything we're doing, all the foundation, all of our governmental emergence that they had going on, they literally merged with the government. I mean, Hitler created his own Bible, Mein Kampf.
Right? Mein Kampf.
Mein Kampf. And he was the savior in that particular thing. And the church is actually shaking hands with, I have a picture of the leaders of the church that day. And of course, the church, I meant, church is a people, is a person that has made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Just because it says church on the outside of your building doesn't mean the church is on the inside of that. But wherever you are, if you're a believer, you are the church where two or more are gathered in his name, in Jesus' name. There he is in the midst of us ruling. And that's what I'm talking about. But this is the difficulty. This is the difficulty, John, with submitting to God versus partnering with government, you know, hirelings. We don't have a say-so. I mean, God allows us to reason with them, like, you know, I'd rather not drink this cup, you know, if you don't mind, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And so submitting to God means that he's the leader and we're not the leader. We can't have a committee meeting or a board meeting.
Can't vote on that.
You can't vote on that, you know. I mean, you can vote on it. It's like, that was cute. Anyway, so and then he just keeps going his way, and it's something that you want. He is the Lord. When you say you submit to God, he's the Lord of your life, and that's what that means. He tells you where to go, how far to go, and you know, but his plans are good for you. I mean, he speaks, we respond. But if you don't trust him, do you love him? I mean, think about it. Love always trusts. And it's like, I think his plans are good for me. He saved me. I was bound for hell. He forgave me of all of my sins. He's covered me in his grace and his mercy. I'm not going to trust him. I'm not going to trust him. You think about it, when he says jump, when a loving God says jump, do you know what a loving son and daughter says?
How high?
Think about that. That's when you submit to God. That's what you trust. You're trusting him. You can blindfold yourself. I mean, this is a big thing. This really shows you how much trust that you have, you know, for someone. You just have them blindfold you and walk you around for about an hour. And you have to listen to everything they say. You have to trust where they tell you to put your feet. And it really reveals up. Some people would just like, they don't trust anybody. And that's a good thing to reveal in your life, because if you don't trust anybody, you got to ask the question, do I even trust God? Because if you don't love your brother that you can see, God says you can't love God that you can't see. And he says, if you say you do, then you're a liar. Think about this. If we say we love God, but we don't trust God, do we really love him? Do we really trust him? And he is trustworthy. He is so trustworthy. He's so loving. He is so kind. But we have to be able to trust him. And we're going to talk more about this after this break. But I just want to encourage you that he is so trustworthy that it gets exciting, because you begin every day. You're like, what do you want to do today? What's going to happen today? And all of a sudden, every day becomes an adventure. And his plans unfold. But we'll get back for the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Dude, I can't take this. Guys, let's go.
Well, let me ask you this.
I made it through 4 innings, bro.
You're kidding
four
me.
4 innings. That's all I can handle.
You tortured your family and what you guys left?
I feel bad that I tortured my family. That I made them stay there that long.
You did they left?
They were totally cool with it. Just, let's go. So we got up and we left. They left.
A 9-inning game and they left.
I can only stay in four
innings. See, baseball is America's pastime.
No, it's your pastime.
It's America's pastime. 162 games a season. 162
games. I don't understand.
He can do 4 innings, let alone 162 games.
Unbelievable. Well, you have to communicate. If I could have been a fly there just to see, did you guys talk?
Dude, it's so boring, dude. they actually have to have these intermission things to excite the crowd in between the innings because there's nothing going on.
You have to understand the game.
They're like doing these little vent things, like kids running around the bases and
Elijah. This we will talk about this tonight.
Animal looking dude running around.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are talking about, you know, either partnering with government, you know, hirelings, you know, trying to find somebody that's going to do what you want to do, or submitting to God and trusting him for what he's going to do. God is so trustworthy. I mean, he really is. But you got to be willing to let go of everything. He'll let you. He's not gonna, I mean, he's the one that created everything. He wants you to have it. But he doesn't, if you're like mine and I'm not going to share it, I mean, you made that your God. You're like the rich young ruler. You've got to be able to say, you know what, I trust you.
We're not trusting God. We're challenging his integrity and his character,
right,
that he's not going to deliver what he says he's going to do.
Right. And trusting God, you know, with your salvation, that you got to ask yourself, if I'm trusting him to forgive me and keep me out of hell and bring me into heaven, everything else should be really small. Hmm. It should be really, really small. It should be an easy trust right there. But submitting to God, you know, it means that he's the Lord of your life. He's the one that's in charge. You're reading the Bible because you know that's what he wants you to do. And you want to be able to know what he wants. He says, those who actually are my disciple, they actually know my teachings and they follow them. You think about that. And they say, so you think about when he speaks, if he's the Lord of your life, it's like Abraham. You think about Abram, his name was Abraham. You know, God just said, get thee up and go, and I'll show you as you go. Abraham said, okay, that's what I'll do. And God calls him the father of the substance that pleases me the most. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The centurion had the greatest amount of the measure of the substance that pleased God the most. He had the greatest amount of faith in all of Israel. Abraham's called the father of faith. The faith is not saying you said a prayer somewhere. Faith is like, God's leading me today. I spent time with God this morning. He spoke to me through his word. He prompted me. I'm feeling impressed. I'm supposed to go this way. And I'm not going to worry about what I'm going to say because he's going to tell me what to say when I get there. But I know what? I tell you what. God is the Lord of my life, and I'm going to do what he says. And so Abraham, what did he do? God raised up his own government through Abraham. You had men's governments going on. You had Ur and all the things that were going on in the Chaldeans. You know, all that kind of stuff was going on. But God said, you know, I'm going to establish my government through Abraham. Abraham, I want you to get up and I want you to go. And as you go, I'm going to unfold this thing before you. And you're just going to trust me on all this journey. And God unfolded all these things. And thank God, because, you know, he's the God of Abraham, whose next son was Isaac, whose next son was Jacob. He was the grandfather of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel's what we're talking about today, for where Jesus, the lineage of Jesus, comes from. How important is this? For some reason, somebody has sold a bill of goods to so many people who profess to be walking with God today as Christians, and there's so many people basically trying to find hirelings. You know, we just can't hire the right person. We went through our third hireling right here, and every time something comes up, a crisis comes up, they won't do what we tell them to do. And it's like, do you really want someone that's going to do what you say do instead of what God says do? I mean, think about that. Is that what you really want? And you, sir, do you want to be a hireling? Are you ready to begin to follow God? Are you serving? I mean, you should look after God's people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, but if you're following them instead of following God, you're actually not even taking care of them God's way. You're doing it your way. I mean, think about how important that is. I mean, Moses was totally dedicated to God. He sought the Lord in everything. In everything, he sought the Lord. He was a very humble man. There wasn't a humble man more humble man on the face of the earth. But understanding that, I mean, here he was with a million people in the wilderness with no plumbing, no water, no housing, having to depend on a cloud by day and a fire by night, and the leadership of God speaking to him on a regular basis, and the Ten Commandments being carved out on top of the mountain. I mean, what happened to those Christians? What happened to the day that we're supposed to, you know what? I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow, but I know that God's going to let me know. So I don't have to sweat tomorrow. I don't have to regret yesterday. I just hang on to today because there's enough issues, enough problems in today. I just got to be in relationship with this God. And this is who we're called to be as Christians. That's, you know, people that are into government and you know, partnering with governments and trying to get all these hirelings to get the right person in the right place. God's more powerful than all that. Moses came from the wilderness. I mean, John the Baptist was in the wilderness.
And God was rocking all those partnerships with government. He was rocking it all. And all of a sudden, Moses just swings in, you know, and says, hey, you know, let God's people go. I mean, what kind of partnership is that? That's not a partnership. That's standing in opposition to the goals and the desires of those who did partner with government to be able to work out their manipulating factors and all that. It's being a lone voice crying in the wilderness. It's trusting God. And then God shows himself mighty. And I believe there's a people that's going to rise up in America. I believe the third great awakening is coming. And I believe that maybe that's even you, where God's beginning to stir your heart. You say, you know what? The God of the Bible is the God of today. It's not a history lesson. It is a practicum today. When I read the Word of God, this is what should be happening in my life. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. I can read God's Word. I can allow God to lead me, and I can follow him. My sheep know my voice, and they follow none other. That's what we're going to have to do. But we have to give up trying to manipulate and control folks and gossip and all these things trying to get your way. You, God sees that. There's a lot of things being talked about right now called an abomination. But you know what he calls an abomination? Those who stir up strife. Those who lie. Those who spill innocent blood. There's a lot of different abominations. And we're not going to come together. Everything the devil does is about division. And unity, progress. When we begin to progress, understand that difficult times are going to happen. As we began this talk today, that you know, without the when progress happens, struggle is going to happen. And don't think because difficult things are happening that it's not God. Understand, God's just showing himself mighty. Don't give up when times get hard. Understand, God is about to show himself. I think about, you know, and I know we got to close here, but I think about Jehoshaphat. When it looked like his back was against the wall, what did he do? He cried out to God. He positioned himself. God told him what he's going to do. He told him, this is what you're going to do, is go out and march out and worship God, and the battle's mine. The victory is yours. And he did it. And what did God do? God defeated the enemy. But what happened in that? God got the glory. You see, that's the whole thing. A hireling wants the glory because they're thinking like, I gotta fluff my resume. I gotta get some things in here. They're gonna have a board meeting coming up in 6 months, and you know the committee's meeting again, and they're trying to please you instead of trying to please God. Think about that. How does that look in the eyes of God if you actually are having somebody trying to please you over please God? And many times, pleasing God means that you're not pleased. Especially if you're not walking in under God's leadership. If you're not in God's Word. And from what I understand, there's like, what, how many, 81% of Americans?
Not even reading their Bibles.
Not even reading in the Bibles. 97% of regular church attenders in America, 97% don't even trust God with their finances. And the Word of God lets us know, you know, wherever your money is, that's where your heart is. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Which means, you know, where is the regular church attender's heart in America if 97% are robbing from God?
Not even tithing, yeah.
I mean, think about that. I know I want to pray for you, but why in the world would we complain about taxes when we're not even tithing to God? I mean, God's going to say, okay, that's fine. You want to trust me? I'll put you under your government. You want to be in this manipulation? I'll put an oppressive government over you until you cry out to me. When you cry out to me, I'll come rescue you, just like I rescued Israel. But until you cry out for me, I'm not coming. You don't want me. I'm not going to force my way in. But you have to ask. He's knocking on that door. And I just want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you and understand that he loves you. The God of the Bible is the God of today. That you can have a personal relationship with him and you can abide with him. We shared our stories at meetmyfather.org, but also you can go to iabide.org and we have an abiding plan, a free abiding plan for you. You can request it and begin to hear God yourself. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you that you are God, that we can trust you, that you're trustworthy in every aspect of our life. The least is our finances. The least is our life because you gave your life for us, God. I pray for each and every one that are hearing, that are fearful and anxious and concerned, Father God, that they would turn their hearts to you and trust you, Lord God, that you would reveal dreams and visions to them, Father God, that you would they would get hungry for your word again, God, begin to speak to them through your word, I pray, Father God. And I pray, Lord, for those that have taken on a hireling spirit, Father God, that you would free them of that, Lord, and they would lay down their life for that congregation. They would lay down their life for your people, God. They would not flee, they would not run, and they would satisfy you over satisfying man, Father God. And we just pray, God, for men and women, God, to be over your people, God, and to rise up in the land, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words, you know. You could just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know. But the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God. That know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and the Lord and all this wonderful stuff, and it's just fun. You know, you look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. So you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, and but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is, and he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family-type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. The pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know, and Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hireling. But I have empathy, though, for a leader of a traditional situation because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to vfnfamily.org and find out more about it.